This is the Living Clean Podcast. This podcast is not meant to replace meetings, sponsorship, step work, or service. This podcast is meant to be another tool in your recovery toolbox. Our guests are here to share their experience, strength, and hope with recovery through Narcotics Anonymous. Thank you for joining us. All right, welcome back to the Living Clean Podcast. We're back for another Living Clean book study. I'm Mason S. I'm an addict. We're going to start with our introductions. Oh, let me do this because I can see that look Francis is giving me. My clean date's 121-18. My home group's Dark Side of the Moon group right here in old Hole in the Wall, Tennessee. And now we will introduce the co-host.
Francis Addict, December 22nd, 1992. Home group is You Are the Book, Book Study, 6:30 a.m., Chico, California. I'm really excited about our participants. We have a couple of people that are like fresh, that text me and Mason all the time asking questions about the podcast. So that's kind of cool that we have them here. Chase is back. It's like there's part of me that's been kind of feeling like I've been bringing all my local people in and have kind of like cut out the home group from Tennessee. So I'm excited to get to see Chase on the screen. And then Jim, our friend Jim, this is making her rounds to her third podcast from Anonymous to the fourth step to the Living Clean. Welcome, Jim.
Yeah. To quote OTK, back, that's a throwback. Okay, let's do our introductions of our guests. We will start, let's start with Keela.
Okay, hi, I'm Keela. I'm an addict. And my clean date is 12/14/18. My home group is Stepping into Serenity from the Savannah, San Diego area of Narcotics Anonymous. But I do have to give a shout out to my other favorite meeting, and that's Staying Connected. And Stepping to Serenity is at 7:30 p.m. In National City. And Stay Connected is at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday nights in Chula Vista.
Take that, Francis, class of 18 in the house.
Whoop, whoop.
Yes. All right, next we got EJ, my man EJ. What's up, brother?
What's going on, family? My name is EJ, and I'm an addict. My clean date is 8/7/23. My home group is the Garlic City Men's Group out here in Gilroy, California. But I got to give a shout out to my home group, my Zoom home group, the Las Gatas home group on Zoom. Love you guys.
Welcome, EJ. I'm so glad you made it on, brother. All right, returning for his 15th time to the show, Chase P.
Yeah, my name's Chase. I'm an addict. Clean date is February 10th of 2020. My home group is Dark Side of the Moon group in Hole, Tennessee. And before I forget, anybody that wants to cruise down to Tennessee, February 21st at Dark Side of the Moon group at 9:30, the one, the only TK will be sharing his experience, strength, and hope for the first time in a long time to celebrate mine and his birthday. So make a trip to Tennessee. He will absolutely kill me when he finds out I told the podcast world about it as well. So
yeah.
That is so perfect, Chase. Thank you for doing that. Yeah. So if you're a longtime listener and have been here since the beginning, you know well who TK is. And TK is celebrating and speaking for the first time in a long time. So we're excited for TK and Chase. So when this comes out, Chase will have 5 years clean by the time this episode's dropped. So congratulations to Chase. Head over to our Facebook page and share some love for the man. Okay, last but certainly not least, Jen.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jennifer, and I'm an addict. My clean date is November 27th, 1992. I live in Sacramento, California. My home group is called The Journey Within. It's a 6:30 p.m. on Sunday evenings. We are an 11-step based meeting, so we have meditation time. And so if you're ever interested in Sacramento, California, hit us up. It's a great meeting.
Boom. You
Class of
couldn't
92, bitch.
help it. You couldn't help it,
I
could
saw
you?
you, Francis.
He could not help it. He couldn't let me have just one day. He had to throw a 92 in. No, welcome to the show, Jen.
Thanks.
Okay, so we are on page 80, is that right, Francis?
That is correct. Starting with hope and freedom.
I am on the iMac, and I'm on page 37 if you happen to be on your computer. I don't know if that syncs up or not, but we are on page 80, starting with the last four paragraphs of creative action of the spirit. And we are going to let my man Chase P read and share some comments on that paragraph.
All right, I'm Chase. I'm an addict. It says, hope and freedom from active addiction come to us early and are given freely. This is what some of us call the pink cloud. We don't have to work for it. But there comes a time when there is no more just taking. This is a crossroads. Many of us stop here and never know what we have missed. We get the real rewards of recovery by giving back and giving forward out of gratitude for what we've been given and out of hope for what is to come. Being of loving service is living spiritually. First we take, then we give, then we share. Living fully is a creative expression of love for our higher power. To be fully alive, awake, and honest about who we are is a gift to us and from us. Man, so a couple things that I'm ill prepared for this as always, but first few things that stuck out rereading this for the first time in a while. I remember I had a temporary sponsor when I got clean, and I asked him about the whole pink cloud thing. And I was like, when's the pink cloud end? And he's like, well, it doesn't ever have to end, you know? And that didn't really make sense to me at the time, but, now I can look back and see how it probably doesn't have to end. And looking at it from this end now, it's like the pink cloud ends when my perception changes, when my desires start outweighing my gratitude. And I can get off that pink cloud for my need to want more and more and more. And I think me and you talked about this recently, but early recovery seems like it's so good because just by not using, life is so much better. You know, it gets like a lot better really, really, really fast. And then the longer you're here, the change isn't as rapid. And we're creatures of needing instant gratification and feeling good all the time. And that's when my perception can kind of make that pink cloud disappear at times, you know? And I love the part where it talks about the real rewards are by giving back and giving forward. And I joke around about this all the time. Get involved in service work, regardless of what your motives are. Even if you have cloudy motives and you want to get recognition, get involved with service. And by doing it long enough, the motives and the ego kind of move out of the way, and then you really get a taste of what it's about. You really get spiritually fed by acting out of integrity and, that selfless service, that part of anonymity. And that's where the real feeling comes from. But again, for me personally, that goes in waves. It's like a roller coaster as well, because my desire to do service comes from different places. But when I'm truly doing service out of a spiritual nature, and I'm doing it out of love, and I'm doing it for the right reason, then I get spiritually fed. But if I'm just showing up and getting the job done, then I'm denying myself the positive things that comes out of doing service work. The job still gets done, and externally it probably looks the same, but I'm robbing myself of the benefits. If I'm dreading doing it or doing it out of ego or whatever it may be, I'm not really hurting anybody else but myself through that process. But yeah, and then the last part, be fully alive, awake, and honest about who we are is a gift to us and from us. That's all I have to share is who I am. I can't share who y'all are. I can't share what somebody else has. So when I can really practice that humility, be okay being myself, remaining right size, and then sharing that with somebody else, the blessings that come in return, are unmatched in my opinion. But that's all I got on that, bro.
Thank you, Chase. Okay, Francis.
Yeah, this is such a great paragraph, and there was so much I was looking at in here. It was talking about, but this is a time when there's no more just taking. This is a crossroads, you know, like so the pink cloud fades and it becomes work. There's a Sufi that became a Christian named Khalil Gibran that said, work is love made visible. And like, so if you love what you're doing, it's not really work. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of have a job right now that I'm really enjoying doing. And so, you know, like I enjoy going to work every day. You know, like I haven't always had that job. And right now, recovery is not work. Like, I'm doing the work, but it's not work. I'm excited about it every day. Like when I go to a treatment center to share, I love that shit. You know, like when I'm doing my history stuff for Narcotics Anonymous and the history committees and getting ready for the convention, I love that. And so, you know, like it's an expression of gratitude. Being of loving service is living spiritually. And right. So one of the other podcasts that we did, our guest Amy from North Carolina said that love is service. So, you know, like the from a historical standpoint, we interviewed Tom M. On the eve of his 56th birthday, and he talked about this woman named Flo Bird that helped him get clean. And she always just was talking about being of loving service, being of loving service. That was her mantra, being of loving service. And so that particular line just reminded me that that's our task. That's the 12th step, is just like doing loving service. I don't always present that very well, but you know, like that is the end goal, is to be of service. Thanks.
Thank you, Francis. Jennifer.
Thanks, Mason. I think this first line, hope and freedom from active addiction come to us early and are given freely. And I think, like, I didn't realize the impact of the freedom that I had when I first got clean. And you know, a lot of people had a pink cloud. I didn't have a pink cloud, right? Like, I walked in with a bunch of behaviors that still kept me bound in some ways. And I wasn't floating around. I was walking around making it real hard on myself. And but I will tell you, like, if I look back today and I think back to, you know, my first 90 days or 6 months or whatever, like, I didn't realize how much freedom I had, because I didn't know what to do with, like, I've had all this time, right? I didn't have a job. I didn't have anything else to do. And so the only thing I knew how to do was go to NA meetings, right? And then from that, I learned, you know, and was taught by others, like, oh, we go to fellowship afterwards, or, oh, there's a unity day, or, oh, there's this, or, oh, there's that. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm being a service and I don't even realize it, right? Because I would just show up with people and they'd go like, well, we're going to clean up the chairs before we go. So I was just like following behind them going like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. Picking up coffee cup, you know, or at the time, you know, picking up cigarette butts in the parking lot, you know, and I didn't know what that was. I just thought we were all a bunch of messy fuckers and we didn't know how to make it in the can, really. That's what I thought. And it pissed me off. And so, like, I was being of service on a resentment, you know, and so it's like, I look at this and I think about, like, being of loving service and being even just being of service to the fellowship. I did not know I was even doing that back then, right? And I have this speaker CD that I listened to that somebody gave me, like, I think, I don't even know how long ago it was. And it's from a convention, and the guy's talking about how, you know, you're going to make the coffee at this meeting, and that's going to, and he's telling him, and the guy says, you know, like, what if I don't want to make the coffee? And he's like, well, then go use, you know what I mean? And he made it very simple. And what the point he was making after it was basically like, if I knew that this gift was going to get me to where I'm at today, just by showing up every week and making the coffee, and they would have said, you're going to find joy, you're going to find, you know, a higher power, like all this, he's like, it would have went right over my head. So what they said was, do it or use, you know what I mean? And he was like, oh, okay, I got it. And that's how it had to be really simple for me in the beginning when it talks about service. And it really came down to the things that I did then, which you pick up cups, put chairs away, fold up the tables, whatever it is you have to do, like still do that today. Like that hasn't changed for me. And that's really at the point today where not only am I doing loving service, but I'm showing others how to do it like they showed me. So that'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Jan. Keila.
Yeah. So, there's so many things in this like small paragraph. Like I was reading it the other day, and I was just like this book in general is just like fire, just like line after line. It just gets me all the time. And like the first thing that I have that stuck out to me is that it says, "This is a crossroads. Many of us stop here and never know what we have missed." That is such a powerful line for me. Like, and because I always talk about, like if there's anything that, like if I had like any power, I would pluck out my eyes and put it in the newcomers just so they would know what they're missing, just so that they would know. Because when they leave, like they have no idea that there's like this whole life that they walk out in, And for me, like that's such a powerful thing. To know that, like, I mean, there's just so many people that haven't even experienced this incredible feeling of being of service. Like I, since the day that I got, well, I started my first service commitment around like 6 months, and I've been of service ever since. And it's truly a gift. And so like it goes on to say, being of loving service is living spiritually. And then it goes on again, to say living fully is a creative expression of love for our higher power. Like that's so powerful. It says to be fully alive, awake, and honest about who we are is a gift to us and from us. And before I got clean, like I had no idea that I would love doing things for people, that I would get so much out of. Like somebody else was sharing about picking up the chairs or like making the coffee, and I going to my area meetings, like it to like I remember when I was a GSR in the beginning, it hits different now when I go to area because I've had to learn, like I've learned that, like in the beginning I thought it was just a bunch of people in a room, like arguing about like the most mundane things about like the way things are worded, right? And I was just like, this is just ridiculous, like and I'm like, y'all are just way too old to be doing all that, and for me, I'm like, dude, it didn't register until later that I'm like, the way that a certain thing is worded could mean life or death for somebody, the way that somebody perceives this flyer or the way that we distribute like events that are happening in our area. Like, I mean, it is really important because the way things are said matters. And the longer that I've stayed clean, the more that I understand that like the way that our language has changed and kind of evolved over the years matters, and so I really take like my responsibility of being of service very seriously, as like a sponsor, as a member, and it's the gift that I give to myself from myself, to finally be like my most authentic self and like the most authentic version of me loves to be of service, loves to give back, almost selfishly. And I guess with that, I'll pass.
I love that, Keila. Thank you. EJ.
What's going on, family? EJ Addict. So the first one really just jumps out to me is hope and freedom from active addiction come early to us and are freely given. When my sponsor, when I relapse is a part of my story, and it's a huge part of what I knew that this program worked. I knew absolutely 100% that this program worked. And so when I came back into the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous and asked my sponsor to sponsor me, one of the very first things that he helped me do is help me get of service, be of service, I went to the business meeting. I had to be in a meeting every day for the first 365 days of my clean time. And I continue to make a meeting each and every day. And, he told me that he said, he volunteered and said, EJ, you're going to be taking over the meeting in the park. And he gave me the bin that it had everything in with all the binders and everything else and the seven tradition. And I was like, what the fuck? Are you serious? I got like maybe 2 weeks clean and you're giving me a service commitment? Who the fuck are you to be doing this? And I was like, really, I couldn't believe that he ultimately had that much trust and care that I could be of service again, you know? And it's not that I absconded money or anything like that from the meetings or did anything to NA, but, you know, I had such little hope and faith in myself. And he had so much trust and he knew that I could do this again, you know? And he said, don't worry, EJ, I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to help you, you know? And that's what Narcotics Anonymous has always done for me. It's always been there with open arms, loving, kind, patient, tolerant, has shown me the way. Even when I fall flat on my face, it's always been there for me, you know? And that's what I love about this program and this process. No matter what happens in my life, I can always turn to one of you guys and entrust in how you guys stay clean one day at a time, no matter fucking what. Like, this is a beautiful process, and I'm grateful to be a part of it. I'll pass.
Thank you, EJ. Just one thing I want to add real quick. Chase kind of touched on this a little bit, but, you know, just the natural progression of just becoming abstinent, we're going to gain some things back. And it happened for me pretty fast. Like, I had 5-year goals that I accomplished within the first 6 months. But, you know, like, what happens when I get, like, when I got my driver's license back, it was amazing. Like, I didn't think that would happen. But in a couple of days, you know, I was just had my driver's license. I was just driving like everybody else. Like, the new kind of wears off of these things. And really what I enjoyed about those things was the feeling the feeling of instant gratification that I got from getting things and stuff back. So for me, like, regardless of what it is, even something great, you know, you get a new house, you get, you know, I'm in a relationship, I got married. Well, what happens when the new wears off? What takes the place of the instant gratification? And I believe it's, you know, love and gratitude are the things that come in and take the place of those. I cannot get by on feelings alone anymore, you know, and chasing those feelings, I find myself in a place of where I was at when I was using. I can never get enough of the feeling, of the feeling, of the feeling. So gratitude is something that's been sufficient for me to replace the feelings, you know, and it's how you have a long-term relationship or stay at a job that sometimes every day seems repetitive and so on and so forth. It's gratitude. It's getting out of myself, which is difficult on some days, but I believe that gratitude's the only thing that can fill that void, you know, that's sufficient. But anyways, that's all I got. Jen, would you read the next paragraph for us and share a little bit?
Sure. Our spiritual connection leads us forward into a new life of joy, wholeness, and endless learning. We discover within ourselves a passion for living. Our experience is transformed into tools for healing and keys to compassion. We find within ourselves a clarity and beauty we never suspected we had in whatever way we experience conscious contact. A feeling of acceptance and relief from turmoil seems to come for all of us. The principles of Narcotics Anonymous are the tools we need to deal with whatever life brings. Seeking our higher power's will for us brings us even closer to our own heart's desire to feel loved, useful, and part of something greater than ourselves. And this is a really powerful paragraph. And for me, when we start talking about conscious contact, and, you know, you were just talking about instant gratification, Mason, and like all the things that I sought out over and over and over again, not only using, but in recovery, right? Like, I didn't show up here with like principles and tools, right? Like, so what did I do? I did all the things I did when I was loaded, only it was different, right? My obsession became different things. And so when I think about like this higher power, this loving higher power that I have, that's greater than me, that's bigger than anything I can imagine, and that I can be healed from like some of this stuff that I suffer from, it's huge, you know? And again, you know, It's funny, like I read this book today and I was like, man, if I would have read this, but they didn't have this when I was new, but if I would have read this, I would not have comprehended how beautiful, you know what I mean, the fellowship is, what this book is, the, you know, the literature. Because I had no concept of who was going to be compassionate to me or who I was going to be, you know, find compassion for. I didn't feel acceptance, and I didn't feel, and there was relief in that I wasn't finding ways and gets means to get high anymore. But there was still so much turmoil and, you know, drama and like all the things, and all the tools showed up, you know, and when I was willing to do the work, right? Like I still have all of these tools, the same tools I had when I did my first round of steps, the same tools that you guys taught me when I walked in the doors. Even if I didn't see them or notice them right away. I mean, a lot of what I did was mimic what other members did. And what I didn't know at the time was they were practicing principles. They were living a life that was, you know, in this spiritual place where they had contact with a higher power that they prayed and meditated every day. And I was like, you know, that's not for me. That's not how I operate. And it wasn't, you know, and over time, just this is the thing that has been so important for me, and that I've been so blessed with, is that there were so many people ahead of me that latched on to me. Like, you know, I talk about this on, you know, all the time about this group of women that swooped me up and showed me how to be a woman with integrity and dignity and practice grace, you know what I mean? And be worth something other than just using myself, you know, to get high or to feel better, you know? So when I talk about seeking my higher power's will, it's like in the beginning, you know, there was this concept of like, if it feels good, don't do it, right? Because the odds are that it's my addiction. And if it doesn't feel good and it's really fucking uncomfortable, do that, right? And if you don't know how to do that, pick up the phone and call somebody and ask them, right? And that was kind of how it, or pull somebody aside at a meeting and be like, I don't know how to do this, you know? And I didn't have the capacity to have a higher power that was loving and kind when I was new, but I knew that you had one, you know? And I was like, whatever you have, I'm gonna roll with that for a minute. And that's how I figured out how to get that. And the experience that I've had over and over and over again, and where it talks about acceptance and relief from turmoil, I've gotten all that freedom. That's just even more freedom, you know. And the ways that I do, the way that I look at things today, or the way that I act, or the way that I behave, are just a reflection of Narcotics Anonymous. Mostly. There's some of it's a reflection of my disease. Let me not just put all that on NA. But I have a solution today. I have a solution. I've had a solution. I continue to seek the solution. And when I don't know what the solution is, I still ask, you know. I used to get stuck in this. I should know better. I should be better. I should be farther along in my recovery. Like, I'm where I am, right? I have 32 years clean. I'm still a fucking addict, right? So the first thought that I have normally is not the right thought. Sometimes the second isn't either. And sometimes I have to call somebody and say, hey, let me run this by you because it sounds really good in my head. And the second it comes out of my mouth, I'm like, oh, well, wasn't as good as I thought it was. And they're like, nope, let's make up another plan. And so today I am useful. You know, I am of service to Narcotics Anonymous. I am loved and I can love back. And my higher power did all of that, right? You guys did that. And just my willingness to seek a solution brought that to me. So,
Thank you so much, Jennifer. Chachi.
yeah. So a couple of things. So reading through this, I like to try to go back, you know, kind of think about where I was at the beginning versus now. And, where it's talking about the spiritual connections leads us forward into the life of joy, wholeness, and endless learning, and seeking our higher power's will brings us ever closer to our own heart's desire to feel loved, useful, and part of something greater than ourselves. It was not a conscious spiritual connection I had. That's something, it's like it, most things in NA, I don't realize it in the moment. I see it for what it is way after the fact. For me, it wasn't like me consciously having a spiritual connection. It was me having a connection to NA and the people in NA that kind of drove me into those things, that steered me in that direction. That's where I started learning. That's where I started experiencing joy, because the people around me were experiencing joy. And as a byproduct of me continuing to be around them, I found that from, happiness and then joy through other people. And it talks about the passion for living. I don't think it started as a passion for living. I think it started as a fear of living the way that I was. It wasn't, I had this passion for living differently. I was just scared to death to go back to what I'd known before. And that last part again, our own heart's desire to feel loved, useful, and a part of something greater than ourselves, again, was not something I even felt like I had the ability to want or desire. I was just treated by the people around me like I was those things. And then I started to believe it. And then when I started experiencing all that, the joy, the learning, the being a part of, feeling useful, just through my connection to NA, was when I was able to kind of switch it around and make it a conscious effort. Okay, this is coming from something greater out there. And so I kind of did that, I guess, backwards in my mind. It was y'all hokey doke to me, really. I wasn't here to get a spiritual connection. I wasn't here to find a higher power. I was here to quit shooting dope. Y'all were making it look like a good time. And so as I started experiencing anything, all these things, I was able to change my mindset. And it's okay, well, let me try to tap in further to where this is real. They keep telling me it's coming from somewhere in the stratosphere. It's something not necessarily tangible. And so that's when I made that conscious effort. And today I'm able to attribute it to that, and it's the feeling like I am worthy to have that passion for that life. I'm talking about something, that passion of living. It took a long time for me to feel worthy of that. But thank God for y'all, because y'all built me up to be worthy of that. And so looking back, it's interesting to look at it now, but y'all threw the old flea flicker on me. I didn't know what I was getting into, but that's all I got.
Thank you, Chase. Francis.
I'm not sure what to do with all these sports metaphors. Our spiritual connections leads us forward into a new life of joy, wholeness, and endless learning. And boy, you know what? I don't like the podcast, our podcast, like this podcast. I'm gonna have to fucking wait a whole week to hear it again. And there's like this build up, like, oh my God, I can't wait for a whole week to listen to a podcast. I guess I'll listen to Anonymous every day and listen to the Just for a Day until Sunday, and then I'll get my hit of living clean again. But like what I'm talking about is like, this is what NA is like. Like I get up every morning and I'm like, oh my God, it is such a great day to be clean. What is going on out there? I drive to work. I drive across the valley. Jen probably knows about the valley. So I live on the east side of the valley. I have to drive all the way across the valley to go to work. And like there's these fields and there's all these birds that are flying. And like when I'm in a foul mood, I don't see that stuff. Like it could be just the most mundane thing to drive through a bunch of cropland. But when I'm excited, like I see God in everything. Like I see, like I'm observing like these layers of clouds. Like it's a cloudy day today, but I'm like, oh my God, it's so beautiful out there here. All these clouds and all these birds. And like all of it is just that spiritual connection that we're led into. And in my addiction, I did not like the sound of birds. Like, fuck those birds. Will they please just go away? And today, like it's the sound of music is when I'm hearing birds chirp. Like I get clarity. Our experience is transformed into the tools for healing and keys to compassion. Like this book study I'm involved with, that had to do with helping a newcomer that was struggling with reading. He was assigned to his sponsor told him to read the first step, and he calls me. He says, "I have a hard time reading. I'm dyslexic. Like I don't know what to do. My sponsor told me to read." I'm like, "Let's get together and read." Now it's like turned in. People started showing up at 6:30 in the morning to read the basic text. Now there's like 20 people that show up for this book study. And it's not born of a coffee pot and a resentment. It's born of compassion. Is that key to, that's the keys to compassion. So I don't know. I'm just excited. I had insomnia last night. I was all fucked off because of this convention that's coming up. I wake up. I'm like, oh my God, this is not happening right now. It's 1:30. So I had to get up and I posted this post about Bill Brooks, you know, like the story in the basic text that this, you know, like this guy is from this town, and you know, like, and it allowed me to go back to sleep. It like it peeled off some of my energy for my love of Narcotics Anonymous and being excited about going to Alabama of all places. Thanks for letting me share.
You know, you made fun of Chase for the sports analogies. I liked all your religious references. You know, there will be peace in the valley. All right, Keela.
Yeah. Dang. So, Francis, I feel like you read my mail because I was just about to say that, you know, talking about how, like, when I'm in a place of, like, spiritual wholeness and gratitude, I'm able to see God in everything. So I have a client and I walk her dog in the morning, and she lives in Spring Valley. And for anybody who knows where Spring Valley is, it's like, I mean, it's not anywhere you go to see the sights in San Diego. Okay. But I have to go early in the morning. And so I remember I was going and I was like, God, it had just rained the day before. And I was like driving there, and it was like, I don't know, like 7, and I was kind of like caught in traffic. But like at that moment, I like looked to my right, and like the clouds were just like sitting just so like beautifully, like on the mountains, right? And like right next to me. And I was just like, oh my God, like God, like, you know, God showed up for me. And reminded me, like, you know, I'm like, dude, like, I always say that, like, I hit, like, the geographical, like, jackpot, you know what I mean? Like, I was born in California, I was born in San Diego, and so, like, even as, like, in my active addiction, like, it's always been, like, somewhere so beautiful that I've always taken for granted, always, and now that I'm clean, it's, like, I get to, like, notice all of these really small things. I too hated birds in my addiction. I hated them. Like they would, I swear, I'm like, dude, if I ever was sleeping inside, I feel like the crow would just follow me and like hang outside of the window, and it's always the crow. And today I'm like, I get like real weird excited when I see, like when I see birds. And you know, I've had like opportunities to like go overseas and like do like volunteer work. And so I've gotten to like have this like really crazy appreciation for all these different kinds of birds. And so today I'm like, I know that those things, those small things are God speaking into my life, you know, and I can relate to, I think, it might have been Mason talking about it, but like my higher power, I've never really tried to go in a deeper like search of like what it is. Like I don't know what my higher power is. Like I mean I call my higher power God because it's easy language for everybody, but for me, I'm like it that does two things for me. It allows me to embrace that there's this active higher power working in my life that loves me and cares for me, always have, always will. But it also gives me this opportunity to be so open-minded to everybody else's form of higher power, you know. And so when it talks about our spiritual connection leads us forward into a life of joy, wholeness, and endless learning, I feel like my higher power has like given me this like abundance of acceptance about me being just fine with me not knowing. And I'll say this one last thing, is that our experience is transformed into tools for healing and keys to compassion. I had somebody that used to tell me that, because I remember I used to complain to her. I'm like, oh my God, like about people in the rooms. Like I'm like, oh, they're so fake, right? They're so fake. And she told me, she's like, you know, maybe if you just change your perception about what fake people are, maybe you can jump into a place of compassion, right? Because nobody wants to have compassion for a fake person, because nobody wants to identify themselves as fake. But how about you think of this person as somebody who struggles to be authentic, right? Maybe you can have compassion for that, you know? And since that person said that to me, I continuously think about all of the people that I have a hard time getting along with, or I'm struggling with that, you know, because it's not something that I can't fall into compassion with. It's always something that I can fall into compassion for, because I struggle with the same defects as everybody else, you know. I just like to warp it because of my disease. I like to warp it into ways that I'm like, oh, I don't know what that feels like, you know, except I do. And with that, I'll go ahead and pass.
Thank you, Keila. All right, let's roll on to the next paragraph. EJ, will you take it for us and share a few comments?
Sure, Mason. EJ added. The spiritual foundation we find in NA gives us the confidence to live and enjoy life, to help others, and to carry the NA message, secure in the knowledge that we are guided to exactly where we need to be. We begin to feel connected to the world around us, and our lives have purpose. We find the courage to follow our heart, to listen to the voice within, to create, to commit, to explore and to live. Wow. That's awesome, man. I often feel the sense of my higher power each and every morning if I'm willing to do what's necessary to connect with him. You know, it's important, it's imperative that I do that each and every day. And if I'm willing to do that, and if I'm willing to get down on my knees and to pray to my higher power and to ask for him to guide me in my recovery each and every day, and I listen, I'm able to truly feel his presence in a variety of ways. You know, it's truly unique for me in that, like, when I'm listening to my higher power, he speaks through me, through you guys, through podcasts, through my sponsor, people in my support group, so many different people across the United States and here in little old Gilroy, California. Like, I love this program. I love this process. I love what I'm able to do when I'm able to listen and willing and to listen to my higher power. You know, it's funny. I was driving to school with my son. I was after getting off a meeting, you know, doing a little workout here. We're here in my gym right now, and you might be able to hear a little echo. My apologies, guys. But after I was done with my workout, I went and got my son ready, and just mundane stuff, right? You know, and I'm tickling him and I'm cuddling him and getting him ready for school. And we're driving to school, same path we go every single day, you know, and he's smiling and I'm smiling and I have my cup of coffee in my car, and I'm enjoying my presence with him. And, you know, we walk past this one gentleman who's got a house in the corner who has Halloween decorations up and Christmas decorations still up. And we see it every morning, every single morning. And this morning, I look at it and I'm thinking to myself, why hasn't that guy taken down his Halloween and Christmas decorations yet? What the hell is this guy's problem? And my son from the back says, Dad, what is up with that skeleton? Why is it still up in his? And to me, that's my higher power. And that's the connection that I feel from you guys when I'm listening. You know, it gives me chills right now. Like, when I'm willing and able and open-minded enough to understand that my higher power speaks through me in a variety of ways, whether that's nature, you know, whether that's, you know, through prayer and meditation, coming to a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous and sharing about my experience, strength, and hope, or sharing about my vulnerabilities, you know, it speaks through me in a variety of ways. If I'm willing to listen, if I'm willing to participate in my recovery each and every day, you know, and I'm so grateful that I get to do that. I'm so grateful that I get to be present in my son's life. I'm so grateful that I get to tuck him in at bed every night and we get to read a little bit for homework. And he gets to ask me, like, when I go, come on, Ethan, it's enough. It's time to go to bed. Let's turn off the lights. Let's turn on your sound maker. Let's get the night light up. And he goes, Dad, tell me about your day. That shit wasn't happening when I was getting loaded. I didn't give two fucks about what was happening with him. You know, I was like, go to bed. I got to go to the bathroom and I got to go do my thing. You know, and today, like, I get to be present for my son. I get to love on my wife and cuddle her. And like, and that's because of this contact that I get with each and every one of you guys. I love this program. That's all I got. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, EJ. So actually, all three of these paragraphs kind of fit into what I've been thinking about today. I was talking with a family member earlier who's having some own struggles themselves, and you know, he asked some questions that I've been pondering on all day. Basically, you know, why do I keep doing what I'm doing? You know, and what I told him in the moment was because of results. If I hadn't ever seen results, I wouldn't still be doing this. And, you know, when it talks about this spiritual foundation that we find in NA gives us the confidence to live and enjoy life, to help others, and to carry the message, the NA message, securing the knowledge that we are guided to exactly where we need to be. See, I found purpose here. And that's what I'd been missing my whole life. I felt like I had no direction, no purpose, nothing to buy into. You know, I used to be terrified of death. Even though I thought about, I wish I would die all the time, but I was still terrified of the finality of death. It wasn't until I became appreciative of the life that I have today that I no longer fear death. And I know that doesn't make sense. You would think, oh, well, if life is so enjoyable now, then why don't you want to hold on? It's not that I don't want to hold on to it. I've just found some peace and comfort, I guess, in a higher power. Keela, I'm a lot like you. I don't know what my higher power is. But I feel like Francis driving through the valley every day. Like I see the evidence of it all around me. Whatever it is. I see it everywhere. You know, like it is overwhelming. I just haven't been able to put my thumb down on what its name is, what it looks like. But I see the works all around me, you know. And, yeah. So that peace that comes from, I love the fact that it uses the word confidence. And it gives us the confidence to live and enjoy life. I was so consumed by fear that I couldn't possibly enjoy life. You know, I couldn't get out and take chances or take advantage of opportunities that was presented to me because fear would consume me so much that I would rather, you know, that like that, to use another sports analogy, I would rather just not take the shot because of the fear of missing. So I would just be like, here, I'll just pass the ball to you. I'll never make that shot. You know? And today I've gained the confidence that, hey, if the game's on the line, put the ball in my hand. I'll take it. I'll take it. And that's not because of something that's in, I guess it is something that's inside of me, but you all unlock that inside of me. This higher power has, you know, sparks that flame inside of me that continues to grow and to build that confidence so I can have an enjoyable life. Francis.
This is such a great paragraph. And, I take a little bit of time in the mornings and ask the God of my understanding for knowledge of his will for me and what is it that I'm supposed to do. You know, like what should I know? What should I do? And sometimes like I'll get a hit, you know what I mean? And the other day, like there's this doorknob at work and it's not like a knob, it's like a hook that hooks the back of my shirts every time. And like, so I have to keep bringing my shirts to a seamstress. And so like we got this new seamstress and I talked to her on the phone and she tells me how to get to her house because it's like a porch pickup type of a thing. And she's like, it's the place that has a bunch of stuff out in front of it that needs to go to the dump. And I'm like, oh, this, what kind of seamstress is this? And then, like, when I'm dropping my shirt off, it dawned on me that I should ask her if she needs help moving that stuff. I have a truck. I know. It's okay, Mason. I do have a truck. I'm from California. But I have a truck. And, like, why would I have a truck if I'm not trying to help people take shit to the dump? You know, like, but she's a complete stranger. And so it go, it, you know, like, and I, like, take a pass on it. And I'm, but then I see on Facebook that she's down to her last day and she needs to get the shit moved because of her landlord and she's in a pinch and she has to do the work herself and rent a U-Haul and all this other stuff because it, like, I could have helped her in my time, but I couldn't help her on the day that she needed it done. And so, like, I apologized to her. I said, you know, like, I'm explaining to her this 11 step practice I have where I'm listening to God and like, and I took a pass on helping her. And she said, that's really profound. I wish you would have helped me, you know, like, and so like, I feel like, do I owe an amends to God now because I'm not listening to like when I'm supposed to help a random stranger? Anyway, I kind of got off on something, but you know, like it's this stuff that's happening all the time. Those are the small things, but sometimes there's big stuff, you know, like where you're kind of put on a mission. You're like, you're in the groove. Like, when I'm spiritually fit, you know, like, it's you like when you're playing horseshoes and you're just hitting ringers over and over and over again. Right. Or Jerry Rice in the zone, right? Okay, those are my sports metaphors. Thanks.
Good job, Francis. Chase and I, even though we're from the South, we really can't talk much about the trucks. I mean, Chase has a truck, but it doesn't fit the stereotype of what you think our vehicles would be. I drive a Honda. So, anyways, let's go to Keela. Would you read the last paragraph and make some comments, please?
Sure. Okay. So it goes on to say, we arrive at Narcotics Anonymous hoping for survival. What we find is love, courage, and a sense of connection and a sense of direction. All our lives, we had looked for the peace and safety we experience in recovery. As we seek our higher power's will for us, we come to an understanding of purpose. Spiritual awakening is a process. Maybe it is what the whole process is about. We nurture our awakening spirits and know that we are finally free to live in grace, integrity, and dignity. Yeah, so, man, I think about the way that I came in to Narcotics Anonymous. How this was like literally like the last ditch effort for me. I remember being in jail and looking at like a substantial amount of time. And I was looking at all of these like, you know, born again Christians, right? You know, and in jail, like they used to be, like one of my biggest pet peeves when I used to go to jail is like all of these people who like suddenly find God. And, but this time was like so different for me. And I remember just thinking like, man, this is like my last chance. Like, I saw everything that I wanted kind of just slipping through my fingers, like sand. And I'm like, you know what, if there is a God, if you're able to help them, I really need you to help me. And I mean, it was just so like profound, like, and from that moment, like I've not, like I haven't picked up and the obsession to use was gone. Like, it just blows my mind, dude. Like I never thought I would be able to live like this. I never thought that I would be able to go a single day without wanting to get high. Like, I just didn't think that was a thing. I thought I was going to die like a hopeless dope fiend. Like, I truly did. I'm like, this is it for me. I remember I used to think that, like, and like audibly say it. I'm like, this is it for me. This is all my life is ever going to be, you know? And then I walk into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and it gives me this like life beyond my wildest dreams, dude. And I've been able to do like things that, like, when I first got here were never even in the forefront of my mind to being possible. Like, I just wanted to get through my treatment program. And I remember when I got there, they asked me, they're like, what do you want out of this program? And there was one thing that was very like I wanted, you know, and it was like kind of like weird that, but I'm like, I want to know who I am, right? I remember telling her that because everybody keeps telling me to love myself, dude. And I thought that was a very weird concept if I don't even know who I am, right? How am I supposed to love somebody I don't even know? And so that was one of my biggest goals. And beyond that, I'm like, that I literally didn't have any expectations for recovery. Like, I really didn't. And today it's like this paragraph does a really good way of putting into words something that is just like so like leaves me speechless all the time, you know? Because like this life that I've found in the rooms, like, and people have also asked me like why I continue. Why do I continue to go to Narcotics Anonymous? And I'm like, there's so many things, but I'm like, it's kind of funny, but I'm like, the first thing that I think of, I'm like, all my friends are there, you know? Like, all my friends are there. Like, I mean, what would I do? Like, I mean, my friends, like, you know what I mean? Like, if I wanted to go on and do something else, they're all at meetings, you know? And so it's just like, I can't even think about my life without having like my home group, my support group, like my steps, my sponsees, my sponsor. Like, I mean, this is just like, I mean, a complete lifestyle for me. Like, I mean, it's something that I don't even look back on, you know? With that, I'll go ahead and pass.
Thank you, Keila. Chase.
Yeah, so I'm gonna kind of this paragraph ties together like the ones we read really well. What kept crossing my mind, and I kind of wanted to wait till this one was over. You know, I like to share my experience in this because some people I've seen come in the rooms, and the one thing they have is like a belief in whatever their higher power is, and that wasn't the case for me. And so understanding this is all about, you know, building that spiritual connection, but you know, connection is opposite isolation. So coming out of state of isolation, so how did I get there? You know, understanding isolation is more than just me physically being away from people. But that's the first thing I had to fix by showing up. You know, I had to keep coming to meetings, I had to keep surrounding myself with people in recovery, you know, and through that and sponsorship, I stopped mentally and emotionally isolating, telling somebody what I was thinking, how I was feeling. And lastly, for me, is when I quit spiritually isolating, and that spiritual connection kind of came last. And it talks about that our program recovery is built on a spiritual connection. Well, my spiritual connection was built on a program in Narcotics Anonymous. And at some point in time, there was a shift where now I can continue to progress in my program recovery built on a spiritual foundation. But that's not how it started at all, period. Man, I've got random notes scribbled out here. I'm gonna try and make sense of some of them. It talks about the peace and safety we experience. We looked for the peace and safety we experience in recovery, and it's one of those like craziest things. They say you can only keep what you have by giving it away. Well, the peace and safety came from being vulnerable, the opposite of what I thought safety was, which was protect myself at all costs. Was actually, you know, the surrender to win type deal. But I had to break past that mental and emotional isolation, you know, by inviting somebody else in. And that's where I found that safety. The first time I was able to trust in somebody and then be trusted, like it secured that bond. And that's where I found that safety. Talking about seeking our higher power's will for us, like what is that, you know, and understanding. We talked, man, Mason, a while back when we first got into these Living Clean studies, we hammered that identity question over and over. We had probably 10 meetings at our home group trying to wade through that shit. And I think I'm more confused now than I was when we began the process. But understanding that my purpose has nothing to do with my identity, it has nothing to do with my job, with my roles in life, and keeping it real simple is like, my higher power's will is to stay clean, don't be a dick. You know what I mean? Try to help somebody. And wherever I'm put, you know, I talked about earlier, I'm put exactly where I need to be. Like, I don't have to force or put myself into a role to do those things. Just wherever I happen to wind up, like, don't be a dickhead. You know what I mean? Like, don't hurt anybody. And it all seemed to fall in place when I do that. And then it talks about the last little bit. We're free to live in grace, integrity and dignity. It's interesting how that's worded. We are finally free to live in. And what I have to realize is sometimes I'll look at that as a chore. Not that I am free to live in that. That is a chore that I have to live with grace, integrity, and dignity. And I can turn it into a job. And that's getting back into what we were talking about with that skewed perception. And all of this is about how I look at it. You know, it talks about courage earlier in the paragraph as well. And courage for me is desperation. It can be courage if I want to call it courage, just as anxiety and fear is the exact same feeling as excitement. Depends on how I'm going to look at it. Am I going to attach to it negatively or positively? And that's what that, I can make it a chore. Man, I got to go to a meeting tonight. I got to do this. I got to do this. And I'm losing sight of that lack of gratitude we talked about, right? You know, I'm turning the freedom that I've been given by the program into a job or a chore. And it's really hard to reap the benefits that the program has to offer. And it's really hard to be of maximum service when I'm looking at it that way. That's not spiritually connected. That's when it's more acting out of desperation versus courage. But if I can flip that perception around, you know, because if I'm acting out of gratitude, by proxy, I'm acting out of courage, right? But if I'm got that negative mindset going on is when I kind of flip that around. If that makes sense, that's all I got. Glad to be here.
Thank you, Chase. And thank you for coming up with the new hillbilly word of the day, integer diggity.
Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah. All right, Jennifer.
I'm going to use that over here in Cali. I don't know if they'll get as much joy out of it as you guys do, but... You know, this line, what we find is love, courage, and a sense of connection and a sense of direction. It's all like so much of this is so intertwined. And you know, I was, you know, listening to you guys talk about your higher power and like not knowing what it is. And one of the most profound things I heard, and it was probably when I had about 15 or 20 years, was like my understanding of my higher power is unnecessary for the majority of my growth, right? Like, I don't need to define it. It doesn't have to have a name if I don't want it to. It doesn't have to have, this deity thing that was very difficult for me to grasp onto, but it is greater and more powerful than I am, right? And that's the most important thing. And it's loving. And so with that spiritual experience, I've gotten the sense of connection that I got spiritually was from my connection with you, the addicts in the room, right? Addicts on Zoom, whatever it is that we're doing, you know, that's how I learned how to do this. The other piece of it is that once I let go of the idea that what you believe is doesn't work for me and that makes it wrong. And once I got over the idea of we all get to have what we have and it doesn't matter what I think, you know what I mean? I can have whatever opinion I want, but it doesn't serve me to have such a negative opinion about what other people's higher powers are. And what happened for me is that I've had these experiences over the years where I've been invited, you know, to go to a Jewish, you know, Passover dinner, right? Where there's a ton of prayer and I've been to a, you know, open air meditation area that's Buddhist in, you know, Arizona. I've been to a Christian church. I've been to a Universal Life church. Like, I've been all of the places. And when I am seeking a conscious contact with my higher power, it doesn't matter where I am, I can find it in any way, in any room, whether it's at a church, whether it's outside, whether it's in this room, sitting at my desk, talking with you guys. And once I let go of this idea that had to happen a certain way at a certain time with a certain God, it opened up the door for me to have all this connection and to find that love and that peace and that serenity and all of those things. So that spiritual awakening is a process, right? Like 20 years in, I was just learning this, right? And at 32, I'm still learning this. And that, I think my ability and willingness to be teachable and to continue to learn no matter where I am in the recovery process keeps me grateful. It keeps me connected. It keeps me in love, courageous, thinking for myself, making decisions in my life that I would have never made before. And some of the things that I've been experiencing in the last few years have been things you know, things I'd never done, right? In recovery, I'd never done. When I was 17 years old and I got clean, I was in a relationship. And then at 19, I met my ex-husband and then I was married. And then only for the last 3 years, have I done anything on my own? I've had a house. I just bought a car that's in only my name. Like I've never done these things before, right? Ever. And for the last 3.5 years, I have done all of that. And that experience is based on a faith that no matter what happens, no matter if I'm married, if I'm not married, if I have a him, if I don't, if I have my kids in my house, if I don't, everything's okay. And when I learned that, it's been the best 3.5 years probably of my recovery, you know, the freedom that I get, and all of that has been in the place of sometimes I don't know what the fuck I'm doing and I need somebody's help, whether it's my higher power. And it doesn't matter if you have 30 days or 50 years, like you may provide some assistance in some areas that I don't know about, right? And I always tease, like I have a lot of experience and a lot of things about what not to do, but now I'm getting to learn some experience and some things that are actually I'm really successful in. And that's only based on my connection with a higher power, with you people, you know, in the recovery process, in the step work, like all the shit that I did when the foundation that I got when I was here. And today I continue to strengthen that. And it doesn't mean it's not fraught with, you know, pain and, you know what I mean? Some turmoil and some chaos and like all of those things still show up in my life, but they're not the center of my life anymore. So I get to have this understanding and I get to nurture the awakening that I continue to have. And it keeps me grounded and it keeps me grateful.
Thank you, Jennifer. And thank all of our wonderful guests tonight, EJ, Chase, Keela, and Jennifer. That was fantastic. That's how you do a Living Clean book study right there. Y'all were phenomenal. There's something about, the continuity of this group, you all work well together. So thank you so much for coming on. Francis, you got anything to add, my man?
No, stay clean and don't be a dick.
That's
Thanks.
It.
That's it.
Yes.
And practice your integrity diggity.
Yeah, simple, not easy.
Yeah. We'll be back next week with another episode. We will see y'all then.
Thank you for joining us on our Living Clean podcast. This is another platform that we can share our message of recovery, which is an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Join that no matter what club. You can contact us through text. The number is 931-306-9364.